suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us all come here, and thank you for bringing us here safely. Open up our hearts and minds, and give me the words that you have spoken to me, and just let me say with confidence and clarity, and let this be a reflection of you in Jesus' name. Amen. So all in, I love defining words. What does that even mean? All in means being all in means completely committed to or very much in favor of something. So now when I'm talking about all in, I'm not talking about like you have to go to Safeway, start handing out tracts, you know, start praying for people. If God wants you to do that, that's great. You should do it. But I'm more talking about like in your life, committed or all into your life. Because once you're all into your life, it'll show here. And then once it starts showing here, then we can grow as a church. I'm talking about we can't expect to be all in with our dog. If you're new here, dog is daily appointment with God being only one day a week. Once you start it in your personal life, it's going to show here. There's a time for me where it's just like another chore. Just so it's another Sunday service. And then we moved here, and then it felt like more of a wanting. Like, I want this relationship. I want this time. Don't get me wrong. I am still the world's biggest goofball, and I still make the world's silliest mistakes, right? So don't make sure you don't say, oh, I'm acting like Kyler in reference to a goofball, please. Also, I'm a huge sports nut, big sports nut. Through a bunch of sports, like I think USA, I don't like hockey, but like I'll follow along. I know like USA was playing Canada and something, and I was going nuts because USA won. Let's go. But here are some sports teams and even people that were all in. The Patriots with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick won, starting with 2000, they won 6 Super Bowls. They were always at the top of the league, even when they didn't win. And then we can go to Alabama and the Crimson Tide with Nick Saban. They won 6 national championships for college football starting in 2009. Even when they didn't win it that year, they were still in. The San Antonio Spurs, with one of the best dynasties in modern NBA, won 5 NBA finals from 1998 to 2014. Even when they didn't win, they were still really contending. And we have Man United. Pastor Shannon, how good was Man United in the late 90s and early 2000s?
They were amazing.
Amazing, okay. What about from 2008 to 2013 and 14? Still good. Soccer's weird. They have like, it's like a big, it's called Champions League, but then they have a bunch of like smaller tournaments in this. It's weird. But they won a bunch of trophies. You have Christopher Nolan, my favorite director. I didn't even know until like last year, I was like, oh, he directed a bunch of movies that I like. He has like Tenet, Dunkirk, the Batman series, Interstellar, Inception, crazy good movies. He has 18 Oscars for his movies. But I bet even when he's not winning an Oscar, he's still competing with his movies. And you have Michael Jackson, who has 13 Grammys, and Stevie Wonder with 25 Grammys. Even though they didn't win every single Grammy for every single song, I bet you they're still like contending to have a Grammy. So what do all these people have in common that are on opposite spectrums of life? They were all in, right? From the sports teams, it starts with the trainers, the coaches, the players, even the staff, even to the janitor. They are all in. They're bought in from the very moment of the beginning of the season. And then you have the director, who's all in. Then you have the screenwriters, the cast, the backups, the gophers, like the go for this, go for that. They're all in. And you have Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, their producers, the backup singers, the choreographers, all the way to the sound guy. They're all in. It's incredibly hard for these teams and these people to be all in for so long. And it starts with the first snap, first dribble, the first line, the first note for them to be all in. So when you're all in, that doesn't mean hard times won't come. The Patriots, Man U, Alabama, they didn't win every single year. Some would consider that maybe like a bad year. And that's okay. But they were all in, and you could tell because they were still contending. Hard times came for Christopher Nolan. I bet he has some hard actors who don't really want to, you know, say the specific lines, or someone might be sick, or he wins an or he doesn't win an Oscar when he should, but they're still all in. And even when they're making the next movie, they know be like, oh, that was such a great movie, we didn't win. No need to go all in now. We didn't win. It's not going to be any good. And the same thing for Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder. They're all in. So even when you're going through something and the storms of life are raging in your life, we all have the option to either A, go all in, or B, go all out and give up. So the first point is, being all in is about turning your focus when hard times come. When hard times come, who will you turn to? When you have moments of doubt, who will you believe? When you have moments of fear, who will you turn to? What about moments of temptation? Who will you turn to? I think a really good demonstration of being all in is Peter when the storm is crazy and he's on the boat. Everyone is freaking out. There's a storm, right? Oh, man, there's a ghost way out in the water. And Peter says, that's not a ghost, that's God. And he goes out and he starts to walk on water, going right out to Jesus. So in that specific moment, he could have been like, I'm going to believe these guys. This is a scary time. I'm scared. There's a ghost out there. I'm going to be safe in here. But instead, he goes all in. He believes, and he starts taking steps out. Now, as he's walking out, he sees the waves. He hears the wind, feels the rain on his face. And if for a quick second, you may be like, well, he just gave up and stopped believing. Wouldn't that be considered all out? But I'm saying to you, he's all in because he's the only one that decided to leave the boat. And he turned to God and trusted him. Even when he's falling into the water, God picked him up. There's someone else who has an option to be all in or all out. He was handpicked by God. He had heard the sermons, been to the teachings. He's a well-loved, well-known disciple, and his name is Judas. He was handpicked by God, right? He saw everything. He was even at the foot washing where God put them above himself. And yet, what did he do? He gave in to the temptation and the craziness for 30 pieces of silver. In James 1:12, it said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, for having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Peter and Judas both had the same opportunities. Both were handpicked. They both chose different options of being all in. Peter chose to be all in his crazy storm, in his crazy moment. Judas chose to give in and give up, give in to the temptation and the storm of his crazy life. Turning back to God, turning your focus, being all in, isn't about perfection. We see it with Peter, right? He has that moment of doubt and he sinks. It's not about being perfection. It's about turning your shift, and that's exactly what Peter did. And we are all given the same opportunity. Will you choose to be like Peter and go all in and crack and mess up here and there? Or are you choose to gonna go be like Judas and be all out? And I love music, so Brandon Lake said it best in his new song. It's called Heartfelt Hallelujah. And it says, I'll bring my heartfelt, storm-tossed, been through hell hallelujah. That's what being all in is about. Being all in is also knowing that no struggle, no addiction, no storms, no sin will define you. That's not your identity. Being all in is about turning to God when you feel complacent. When it's another Sunday service, when it's just another sermon, when it's, oh, it's all right, we went last week, we don't got to go this week. When it's, oh, it's raining and I have a little cough, I'm just going to stay home, it's okay. That's when you're in the danger of going from a rut to a grave. And I feel like if you feel complacent, turn into God. Don't fall into the grave. Like, what would happen to Pastor Shannon and Pastor Don if they were to be complacent? We would all notice. It would start to rub on us. Then eventually the church, which is going to a rut, now goes into a grave. Being all in defeats complacency. It brings vision and purpose. It brings vision to your life. It brings vision to your job, vision to your family, vision to the church, and even the church family. It beats the just existing, Right? Imagine if we go all in as a church. What mountains will we move? What valleys will we go through together? Because for me, it's always wonderful to know that, like, when someone else is all in and I'm struggling, then I can count on them. I can rely on them. And I'm not even saying for church-wise, I'm not saying you got to go, like, work in kids' church or be a greeter, because I'm kind of awkward. That's why you don't see me greeting at the door, right? I'll look around maybe, or, like, look at my feet, you know, give a weird handshake, you know, I'm awkward. So you won't see me doing that, right? But I'm talking about the message, right? All into the message, all in during worship. I'm talking about Monday through Saturday. And then even the service we have here at Oceans. And these signs, I know we joke about them, right? Oh, they're so weird. It's so funny. Like, all in and welcome home, right? All in and welcome home, because this is your home, right? We're a church family. We're all in this together, right? And we have the other one, all in and the best is yet to come. All in, the best is yet to come, because you know that God's promises are better than anything you're going through, right? They're going to beat anything. And then the famous one, the all in, and we've been expecting you, right? Everyone says, oh, this is a weird sign. Like, you know, why are you creeping through us? But all in, and we're expecting you, because we're expecting God to move here in the church. We're expecting God to move in our life, and we're expecting to see other people throughout the community. So, all in, there's this person in the Bible, and he was all in, right? Many people were, but I'm going to zone in on this specific dude. Even when times got tough, he was all in. He had everything going right in his life, and his world was flipped upside down in a heartbeat. And his name was Job. We're going to start in Job 1. I'm going to just give you some backstory, because I don't know if we want to read the 42 chapters. A lot of them are just back and forth with his friends. But I'll just highlight some stuff about Job. And the Bible says, Job was someone who was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, 3,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. The Bible literally says he was the greatest man in all of the East. Job was so all in that his kids would party and drink on their birthdays when they had get-togethers. And Job would go to God for them multiple times. This was a regular occurrence for him. He was going to ask God for like, it's such a crazy thing. But regular custom for Job to go to God and say, please forgive my sin, my kids, because they've messed up. He's so all in, he's doing that for his family. One day, angels are up with Jesus. They see Satan. Jesus is like, hey, what's up? He's like, I'm just roaming the earth. And Jesus says, have you considered my servant Job? He's blameless and upright, and there's no one on earth like him. A man who fears God and shuns evil. And Satan says, well, that's easy, right? He has everything. He has everything. Of course he's going to be, of course he's not going to shun you, and of course he's going to love you. And the Lord says, okay, then take everything he has, but you cannot lay your finger on him. So we're going to fast forward. His kids are hanging out with themselves, and a messenger comes to Job and says, hey, Job, donkeys were stolen, a bunch of servants were killed, I am the only survivor. As that servant is talking, another one comes in, he comes up and he says, a fire came down from the heavens, killed all the sheep and servants, I'm the only one to survive. While he was talking, another servant came in and said, hey, raiding parties came off and they took the camels, killed all the servants. I'm the only one alive. While that servant was talking, another one came in and said, hey, strong wind came in from the desert, knocked all 4 corners down of the house, killed your kids, killed all the servants. I'm the only survivor. What Job did next is, to me, is crazy, because he ends up taking off his robe, shaves his head, and he drops his knees to worship. So this, to me, is like a Netflix drama, right? A Hallmark movie, a soap opera kind of day. That's a really hard day. For some of us, a hard day is like no coffee, maybe. Internet goes out. It's rainy. We have spotty service for Netflix. But Job lost everything. Everything. In the blink of an eye. It's happening so fast that servants can't even finish what they're saying. And Job has 2 options. One, he can get mad, start crying, question God, or he can go all in. I don't know about you guys, but if I lost everything I had, I don't think I would drop to my knees and start worshiping. I'd be probably frustrated, questioning God. So fast forward. His friends hear what happened, and they come to visit him. Pretty cool, right? You're like, hey, these dudes are reaching out to him. It says in the Bible that they see him from afar off. They take off their robes. They put dirt all over them. And they don't say anything for 7 days. That would be kind of awkward. Satan and God have another conversation. How are you doing? Oh, I'm just roaming the earth. And he said, well, have you not seen my servant Job? He hasn't cursed me once. And he said, well, yeah, it's easy to give you praise when he has nothing. But if you put like sickness on him, he's going to get mad and curse you. God says, okay, you can do that, but don't take his life. Job, I feel like, gets how anyone would get, right? He starts cracking. He starts getting frustrated, irritated, depressed, angry at God, and even the people around him. He ends up crying out to God, and he complains. His friends have a conversation. If you read in the Bible, they go back and forth. And his wife says, you should just curse God and die. And what I think Job's response here is the most perfect response. He says, okay, not the first part, so please don't get mad at me, women. He says, you're a foolish woman. Why should we praise God when only good things happen? I like that because so many times we can say, oh, God bless me with this, God bless me with that, hallelujah. And then a storm comes, and it's like, oh, it's hard, right? You should still be praising God through the whole thing. So Job here has two options. One, do what Judas did, give in, do what some of us do, give up, turn to the temptations, the anger, the doubt. Or two, be all in like Peter. Believe God, see the vision, see the purpose. And that brings me back to that other scripture that perfectly represents Peter. It says, for God called you to do good, even if that means suffering, just as Christ has suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. And then James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, for having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life and receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Spoiler alert. We're just going to fast forward. Job chose option two. Job ended up getting more than what he had in the beginning. 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. God also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. And at the end of chapter 42, it says, Job ended up living 140 years to see 4 generations. And it says he died an old man who had lived a long, full life. Job chose option two, just like when Peter did when he left the boat. He was all in. They both had chaos around them. Peter was in the storm, took his eyes off Jesus. Job had lost everything, right? In the scriptures, it talks about how the friends start blaming him and saying, well, you must have sinned. You must have did this. So they both have storms, just opposite, different situations. And they both decide to get in. So Job could have questioned God, got mad, maybe given up. But God isn't looking for perfection. They both made mistakes and they're all in. Job didn't choose to be all in when everything was stripped away because he knew that God would bless him. He didn't do it because he knew it would be making for an awesome story. He knew that everything would be doubled at the end. He wasn't thinking, how am I going to get riches out of it? He didn't think, I know the end result. He chose to be all in because in his time of peril, he knew where to turn to. He shifted back his focus. Even through the questioning, the doubting, the pain, and the sorrow, he knew God was there. Even in the scripture, even though he says, what have I done, God? Why? Just take me. He knew, deep down, he knew where to turn to. So for Job, I go back to James 1:12. It said, blessed is the person who preserves under trial, for having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised him. The defining moment, you might think, is, oh man, Job lost everything. That's a defining moment in his life. Lost everything. Kids, family, wife, friends. That's not the defining moment. No pain, no sorrow. The also defining moment wasn't the rewards at the end. It's easy to think, oh man, look at that. Defining moment, he got everything back. Everything was doubled. New family. What defined him was that he stood the test. He persevered under trial. Even though he cracked, he wasn't perfect. He knew where to turn to. And that brings me to my third point, action. What about you? What about us? Are we willing to go all in? When the storms are coming at us, no matter the storms, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, are you ready to jump out of the boat when the storms are crazy? When you're cracking like Job, questioning God, getting mad, are you willing to turn your focus and go all in? I don't want this just to be like a good pep talk or, oh man, that was good. He did good. I feel good. Yes, God wants us to be encouraged, but he also wants us to put action to it. So put action to this, our next service. Put action to this on Monday. Put action to this even when you go home. Decide to be all in. Put action to it as in listen to worship music a little bit more. Maybe pray a little bit longer. Maybe read a couple more scriptures here and there. So this week, my challenge to all of us is to choose to be all in. And once you leave this church, I bet you, once you go home, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but realistic. Once you go home, I bet you storms are going to come, right? This whole week, for me, storms were crazy. Right in my face, I'm like, this has never happened before. But it's all about turning your focus, right? Whether this week the storms are mentally, physically, spiritually, right? Stand firm. Stand the test and remember that God will hold us upright with his righteous right hand. And he is our strong fortress and he is our strong tower. So if everyone could just stand with me. So next Sunday, my question, challenge, whatever you want to call it, to you is, are you going to be all in, right? Don't make it another service here. Don't let the complacency stop you. Don't let the storm stop you. Stand the test of the week and push into God next service. Dig into the worship. Dig into the message. Decide to be all in. And it's easy just to get complacent, right? But again, you're a few inches from a rut to a grave. I've been in a couple graves, so I know it's not fun. And it's hard digging back out. It's hard admitting that you have to go to God. So turn your focus and shift back to God. If anyone needs any prayer for anything, feel free to come down and we can pray for you. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us be here in your presence. Thank you for bringing us here safely. Thank you for giving us the option to choose whether to be all in or all out. And when I choose, God, help me refocus back to you. I want to be like Peter. I want to jump off the boat and run out to you on the water when the storm is crazy. I don't want to be like Judas, who gave in and who gave up for nothing. And Lord, let us know that when we're cracking, that's okay. It's not a defining moment. The defining moment for us and our relationship with you is how we turn back to you and push into you. So even though this week might be hard, we might have hard days, hard hours, hard 10 minutes. Let us all remember Job and Peter, and let us all be all in for you when those moments come this week. Bless us next week, and let us be all in next week at the next service. Let it not be another song, another three songs. Let it not be another message. Let us dig in and take notes and really dig into worship. In Jesus' name, amen.